I'd like to look at some verses in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Just thinking about the five wise and five foolish virgins. In the first verse, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Thinking about these verses this morning and how that the foolish failed to take a supply of oil for their lamps, and the wise took oil. But he told them to go buy for yourselves, to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. I was thinking about how to have the oil of the Lord in our hearts and life is it doesn't cost money on the terms of just being able to go and pay some cash. But there is some cost involved on our part. There's things that we have that are of value. We have to give up some things or sell some things to be able to buy more, get more. I want to notice another scripture, Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke, the 12th chapter and the 28th verse. It says, "If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. I was thinking the similarities of these verses. He's encouraging them not to seek after all the things that are of the world or in the world, but he says to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he gives an expression, he said, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then he says, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags, or I guess you can say buy bags, which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's thinking about how important it is to put the Lord first in our lives, to seek Him, and to have something on hand that enables us to be what God is calling us to be. You know, we don't really know the time or the day the Lord is coming back. But we don't know the time or the day of the next trial either. And we want to have something on hand to help sustain us through the trials that will demand and require grace and help from God. And I believe the Lord wants us to. It's like a spiritual market. It's not a market of tangible things, but it's a market where we can sell ourselves, where we sell our ways, our thoughts, where we give ourselves to God. It's in essence buying oil and getting a supply of oil. So it's not a altogether, you can't buy it with money, and yet it does cost us our time. It will cost us of our effort, of our means, and we want our lights to be burning, and we want to have a supply of oil on hand. And to have a fullness of the Lord in our lives that can be a help and a blessing, not only to us, but to those around us. I don't know if you've heard much in the news about the squatters sure some of you have. That's kind of a real irritation to me when I about the squatters. They're people that go in, they take advantage of other people, but they go into a house that's not being occupied at the moment, and they take up residence, and they trash it up, they do whatever they want, they live like however they want to live, they don't take care of it. They trash it up, and for some reason, there seems to be a very difficult problem on getting these squatters out of these places that they've houses they've moved into, and I don't understand that altogether. It doesn't make sense to me. But they move into an area that's unoccupied. They move into homes where the residents are either on a trip or they're gone. They haven't seen any action at the house. And they move in. Usually they take a lot of other people with them. They seem like they can fill the house up pretty good. But it's from being unoccupied. It's from being the owners are not really there. And I think about, there's another verse in Matthew, the 12th chapter, and the 43rd verse. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. It said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh in dry places, and then he says, I'll return to the house, and he finds it empty, like a squatter. It's an empty house. It's clean, it's swept, and it's garnished, but he comes back in. And that's in Jesus, in that other verse we read, he said, if the good man of the house would have known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken up. He wouldn't have allowed it to be entered into and broken up. And I'm thinking this morning about how important it is for us to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Word of the Lord in our hearts, in our minds, to take the time to put forth the necessary effort that I have oil, I have a supply of oil on hand, I have something on hand that it's not just empty. Emptiness puts us in a dangerous place temptation-wise. When we don't have the Word of the Lord dwelling in us, or the Spirit of the Lord dwelling within us in a measure, it's like it weakens us. And it's almost like this empty house. The enemy can come in. But if we're filled with the Spirit of God and We're filled with the Word of God, and we're letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. And we're allowing the Lord to fulfill our hearts and our lives. Then when temptation comes, we'll never get to the place where we can't be tempted. We'll be tempted as long as we're in this life. There'll be temptations. But if the Lord is there, if there's a burning in my heart, a burning in my life for God, if there is a hunger for the things of God, and there is a full filling of the Lord working in my life, then when temptation comes, it's not going to be quite as attractive as what it would be if your house is empty. You see what I'm saying? If the Lord is meeting the needs of our life, is He there helping us and He's inspiring us and encouraging us, then when temptation comes, it's like, I don't need it. I've got the Lord. I've got a greater treasure. I've got a greater blessing in my heart, in my life. And that's what we want to seek after. We want to seek to be filled with God. We want to be full. We want to have amount of fullness, of a measure in our lives that of spiritual things, of spiritual desires for the things of God. And I believe if that hunger is there, the Lord can bless and help us. But the trouble was, this house was clean, but it was empty. And it created a great problem. It created a place where the enemy was able to come back in. And we want to have a fullness of the Lord in us. We want to have a portion there that's the good man is at home. He's fortified. He's watching. That's what we want our spiritual state to be. We want to seek after that. And we've got to... Sometimes the Lord is asking for commitments on our part. He's asking for a greater closeness. Perhaps sometimes it's a greater distance from the things of this world, the attractions of this world, and the allurements of this world. But we want to be able to have His blessing and His favor and His oil in us. And when there's that, and I feel like part of it is using what God has given us, the talents that He's given us, but our minds being occupied with serving the Lord. I'm not here to serve I don't want to go my own way. I don't want to do my own agenda. I don't want to live my own life. I want to serve the Lord. And when we have that desire, and that's buying the Spirit. That's showing the Lord that we're interested in His work, what He wants us to be doing. And that begets strength. You remember when the two that had the 3 talents and the 5 talents, when they traded, when they were using what God had given to them, they got more. The Lord blessed them with more. They had more abundance. But the one that wasn't using what he had for God, his talents and his life, he didn't get more. He didn't get anything more. All he had was, he wasn't using what God had given to him. He didn't get any more. And later he lost the very thing that he had. Buying and selling, you know, buying and selling is, it's life. I mean, we have to buy groceries, we have to labor, to be able to have means to buy. And that's why the squatters, that gets under my skin. A person that wants to come into another house, number one, I think they ought to call a big dumpster and put it out there in front of the house, and the squatters clean up their mess before they leave. And then they pay for the dumpster. They pay for the cost of the dumpster. And then they work. Then they call contractors in. They fix up all the everything that was damaged. They fix it up. They tear out the carpets. They ruin the carpets. These people destroy these places. They pay for it. They work on the work crews to pay for it. You know, you just can't keep swallowing the cost. Society can't keep swallowing the cost of. There has to be an end. There's going to be an end somewhere. I feel like people need to be held accountable and responsible for their actions. The Lord does. I mean, the Lord wants us to be held. But when they move in to places that are not occupied for a moment, and the devil tries to do that too. You know, I thought about King David. David was, you remember his transgression with Bathsheba, his failure. But it said it was a time when the kings went out to battle. And David didn't go. In other words, it was a time where he should have been using what God had given him, his talents, of fighting the battles of the Lord and going to places the Lord wanted him to, but it said he stayed at home. And lo and behold, the devil shows up. And he's empty. And temptation is great. If he would have been doing what the Lord wanted him to do, he wouldn't have been in that situation. I don't know. It doesn't really give the reason why he stayed home. But when we're not doing what the Lord wants us to do, and we're not seeking Him for His guidance and direction, the devil's going to show up with temptation. And it's going to look mighty attractive, mighty appealing. Temptation is a draw anyway. But when we're empty and we're not fulfilling the Lord's will for our life and we're not putting Him first, we're just kind of serving the Lord on our terms. We're just, if it feels good, okay. If it doesn't, it don't work out. The Lord is looking for a deeper commitment than that. He wants a commitment that invests our heart and our life. He said, "Seek ye the first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be." He said, "I know you need these things." It said that's what the Gentiles are seeking after. They're seeking after all the things in the world, earthly things, trying to find fulfillment, trying to find satisfaction, contentment. All this world, its wealth and honor, cannot state the human breast, but only filled with God the Father. I'm not doing that right, but it talks about being filled with God the Father. It says every want is fully blessed. I think all of us know that we shouldn't go grocery shopping on an empty stomach, right? You go grocery shopping on an empty stomach, what looks good? Everything. everything looks good. Things that you're usually are not a normal part of your diet look good. But if you go in the grocery store and you've had a good meal and you're satisfied, you think there's a difference on what you're looking at, what you're going to purchase, what you're going to spend, what you're buying? Sure, it makes a big difference. And that's my message to us this morning. We want the fullness of the Lord in our lives. We want God to inhabit, to indwell our mind. To love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, all thy strength, all thy mind. To love the Lord with our mind is that our thoughts. We're thinking about, and I'm not saying we've got to think about scriptures every minute of every day, but it talks about praying without ceasing. You know, we can have a prayer on our hearts throughout the day. We can have a scripture on our hearts throughout the day that gives us fortification, that gives us strength, that when the temptation comes, yes, we're going to be tempted. But if my house is full, if my life is being filled with God, then the temptation is not going to be near as strong as it would be if I was empty. There's another scripture in Philippians, the fourth chapter, I wanted to get in verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Do you think we can be full and hungry at the same time? I believe spiritually we can. I believe the hunger he's talking about is a hunger for God, a hunger for his will, a hunger for his purpose to be worked in our life. He says, "Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry." Now, there's Jesus in the Beatitudes, he said, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be full." And then he said, "Woe unto you that are full now, for ye shall be hungry." So what he's referring to there is what are we filling? What are we full with? What are we filling our lives with? If we fill our lives just with the temporal things of life, we're going to get hungry. In other words, we're going to suffer need. But he said, "I am instructed both to be full." I believe we can both be full of what God has for us and yet still hunger and thirst after his righteousness and after his blessings in our life. So I just want to encourage us this morning to sell, to buy. Go to them that sell and buy for yourselves oil. And I believe the Lord leads us into those places and will help us. I appreciated Nathan's testimony this morning about, you know, the Lord knows how to bring us, I don't know, into those closed places to where we, just like He did with, we talked about Hannah a while back, how she was without child and then she was being persecuted, and how it brought her to a point where she made a vow before God. The Lord was in that whole thing. The Lord was working to bring her to that place. And He does in our lives too. Sometimes He calls, He wants us to make a vow, a commitment to Him in order to purchase what He has for us. Sometimes it's going to be, now the Scripture warns us about vows. He says, it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not pay. It's better not to make a vow and not pay. You have to help me with that. It's better not to vow if you're not going to pay the vow. But the Lord wants us, I believe there's going to be times in drawing closer to Him that He's going to look for a commitment from us. He's going to look for a commitment. He wants to bring us in to a place spiritually, and sometimes that's going to take more commitment on our part, more selling of ourselves, more selling of... I believe the Lord continues to lead us through life. You know, there in that one scripture He mentioned in Ezekiel, He said He went in the river and the river was ankle deep, and then He said He measured out another measure and it was up to His knees and then up to the loins and then to a place where He couldn't pass over. And the Lord does that to us in life. We may be getting our feet wet right now, but the Lord calls us a little bit further. Or maybe we're in knee deep and He's calling us into something a little bit deeper. But I believe the Lord is calling for us and will call for deeper commitment, deeper consecration in order to maintain a relationship with Him and to walk with Him. If we just stay in the same place, it becomes a detriment to us spiritually. It can become a dangerous place for us just to set up camp and stay in one place spiritually for us. The Lord, I believe, continues to call us into a closer walk with Him. So Lord, help us today to seek to be filled with the Lord's fullness, to seek His infilling, to seek His His help, His blessing, His fullness. And I believe that this morning. I believe He is the only one that can truly satisfy the deepest needs that we have. Things of this life will not satisfy. They give maybe a temporary high or a temporary moment, But if it's outside of Him, it will get us into trouble and will lead us more and more away from Him. Anyway, I thank the Lord for His goodness and His mercy to us. And there's a lot of other scriptures that talked about the man that going and had to sell everything that he had to buy the field. We're in this is a spiritual market. It's a buy and sell. And we sang one of the songs, or maybe I just saw it, but it said, at the cross, it said, Satan whispered there, thy gain will not repay your loss. But I believe this morning the Lord has gains for us. He has things that will fulfill us and help us and bless us. And we want to have that fullness in Him, because we don't know when He's coming back. We don't know when the next trial's coming back. And we don't know the next person that we meet, how much of the Lord they're going to need from us. And if the Lord's there, if He's been talking to us, if He's there, it's just like it's... when there's a fullness, it just... He's right there. And that's what we want today. We want there to be a fullness in our lives of Christ. Pray for me.